Well, I'm not sure about you, but I'm thankful to be saved. Amen. I am so thankful that in 1977, as a very, very young boy, accepted Christ as my Savior. And I haven't got over it yet. It's been 42 years. And I've not, now you figured out my age. I am so thankful to be born again. I'll tell you that. Let's open our Bibles together. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And out of respect to the Word of God, let's stand as we read 1 Peter chapter 2. If you're able, let's stand. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. 1 Peter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says in verse number 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Let's pray. Father, it is good for us to be in a church here this morning. Lord, in your house, opening up your word, no better place for us to be. And Lord, as the special just sang, we are thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Thank you, Lord God, that he rose again the third day. And thank you, Lord, that heaven still rejoices over one sinner that repenteth. And I pray, Lord God, again, as Jesus Christ is lifted up, I pray that you draw all men to yourself. And I pray, Lord, as we came in this morning, Christ had a certain value in our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that our estimation and our value of him would increase this morning, having sung your praises, having prayed, and Lord God, especially having opened up the Word of God, that we would love you more, because you truly are a good and great God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What a power-packed chapter and portion of Scripture this is in 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's going to take me some time to pull all of these things out and be able to preach it and share it with you. But suffice it to say, I want to talk a little bit this morning about what Jesus did for us and who Jesus is to us. And next week we'll talk about who we are and what we're supposed to do for him. It's an amazing thing. He says in verse number 2, "As newborn babes." The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." It's when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Have you ever been born again? I sure hope you have, because without it, you'll not see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. You need to be, the Bible says, saved. And the Bible says when a person's saved, he's a new babe. How do you become new? How do you get the new life? How do you get born again? Well, he says in chapter 1, verse number 18, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from a vain conversation received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the preaching and obedience to the Word of God. Look at verse number 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." This is how it happens. Jesus died for you because you're a sinner. He rose again the third day because he's God. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, how did you hear those things? How do you know he died for you? By the Word of God. How do you know that he rose again? By the Word of God. "I declare unto you the gospel, that Jesus died according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So for me, I'm a little boy in front of a little cabinet at a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching camp, and my counselor opened up his Bible and by the Word of God showed me that Jesus loved me and died for me and how I needed that because I was a sinner. And I sat there hearing the Word of God and put my faith and trust in the Son of God. Have you ever done that before? If you have, the Bible says you're born again. But when you're born as a babe. You're a baby. You're a new creature in Christ. And we're supposed to grow. And the way that you and I grow is to desire the sincere milk of the Word. So a new baby needs its milk. And I've had 5 children. And they cry every time they're hungry. And most of them are fully grown. And they still cry every time they're hungry. They want that milk, but it's not just any milk. The Bible says what kind of milk, folks? Sincere milk, literally, sincera. That is without wax. Does that mean a lot to you? Milk that's without wax. What would happen many times is you go to the marketplace and you'd buy some plates. And a dishonorable potterer would take his plates and he'd put them in the kiln. And if they cracked, he wouldn't throw them away or smash them. He would take wax, the same colored wax, and he'd pour wax in there and then shave it off, smooth it off, and then he'd put it in the bottom or the middle of the stack. I remember once my wife sent me to buy eggs and milk. I'm not the guy for that, right? So back when we used to still buy eggs, she sent me to the store. I came back, and she opened up the carton, and there's two broken eggs, two cracked eggs. She said, there's two eggs cracked. I said, oh, I paid for cracked eggs. She said, didn't you check? I said, what do you mean check? Next thing I know, when she brings me there, she shows me. She opens it up, and she goes, good, go. Okay. I didn't know that. I mean, now we have fresh eggs, but I didn't know that. So when you went to the marketplace and you're buying a stack of plates, you go through every plate to make sure that it is sincere, or to make sure that it's without wax. And many times you would take the plate and you'd hold it up to the sun, and the sun, part of the light would come through that wax, and you know, this has got a crack in it. I'm not paying for that. I'm not buying that. So we're looking for the Word of God, and the way that you and I grow is by the Word of God that is without wax. That is sincere. There's also a reference to without wax, and we talk about honey. That you want honey that does not have the beeswax in it. You want natural honey, but you don't want the wax in the honey. I'm reminded of Psalm 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Listen, Psalm 19 is the little brother of Psalm 119. Okay? Psalm 19, the little brother of Psalm 119, and declares the Word of God, and it says the Word of God is perfect. That it is without error. It is sincere. It is without wax. Peter says it is incorruptible. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's what Peter said. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse number 10 of Psalm 19 says this. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey from the honeycomb. So we want plates. We want utensils that are sincere. We want honey that is sincere, that is without wax. I'm here to tell you that this Bible is sincere. It is waxless. It is without any impurities. And the Bible says we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. I remember back in 2008 that there was a major scandal over in China. Let me read this for you. The scandal involved milk and infant formula with other food materials and components being adulterated with melamine, a toxic industrial compound. So in 2008, the Chinese were found to put melanide, which is a toxic chemical, inside of their baby formula. And the reason they did that was because it made the formula register that it had more protein in it than it really did. But it was just a chemical trickery. And so they piled this melanine into the baby formula, and there were 300,000 babies that were sick. There were 54,000 babies hospitalized, and 6,000 of them died. Why? Because they had milk that was not sincere. They had milk that had been tampered with. Listen, if you and I are going to be proper Christians, if you and I are going to grow the way we're supposed to grow, then we need the sincere, unadulterated, unmixed, untainted Word of God. Praise the Lord. That's what we need. We need the Bible. And it's through the Word of God that it makes wise the simple. It converts the soul, the Bible. And in the Bible, he says, verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Well, why am I growing? Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Can I ask you this? Have you tasted that? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is man that puts his trust in him. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? I'm sorry. Lord, forgive them for not praising your name right now. You think I'm kidding? Is not your God gracious? Have you tasted that? I mean, the word taste is, have you experienced? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And what is the overwhelming power of this experience? Is that I was a sinner, but God was gracious to me. The Bible told me that I was a sinner, but it also told me about the Savior. And I've tasted and saw that God is good. God is good. As a matter of fact, he uses the word 7 times in Peter. He uses the word when he refers to the Lord, he refers to the Lord as being precious. And precious is better than good. An old preacher friend of mine, he was one of my heroes of the faith. I said, Chief, how you doing? He goes, I'm doing pretty good there, Brother Sparks. I'm pretty good. He said, the closer I get to Jesus, the gooder and gooder he gets. I said, you know that's not proper. He said, I know it's not proper English, but it's good doctrine. Gooder and gooder. That Jesus and the Lord are precious. What does the word precious mean? The word precious means of great value or worth. Very valuable. Highly valued, much esteemed. And from the outset, I want you to tell you this, that when we use the word precious, as we study this out, we'll find that the word precious is a comparative term. When we talk about esteeming something, it means it's in comparison to something else. Now, I remember, you remember when you bought your diamond ring for your wife when you got married and you went there and you learned the 7 C's or the 3 C's or whatever it is. And you're gonna, and I said to my dad, I said, Dad, how much is a guy supposed to spend on the diamond? He said, when we got married, I bought your mother a Canardly diamond. I said, a Canardly diamond? Yeah, Canardly, see it. All right. What about one of them cubic zirconium things? You have one? Thank you. Are you giving this to me? I'm already married. I can't give it. Is this expensive? No. $10. $10. $10. This was a lot like the one I gave my wife. So you have what is truly, sincerely valuable, and you have things that are not valuable. And to say something is precious, this glitters and it shines, it looks nice. But is that truly precious? No. See, you are comparing it with the real thing. The real thing is to be highly valued. The thing that is true and lasting, that we esteem, that is the comparative term of precious. And what the Bible says flat out, Peter, and it's amazing that Peter uses this word. We as men don't use the word precious very often, do we? Not unless you're drinking pumpkin spice lattes. You don't use the word precious very often. But Peter, that rough and rugged fisherman with leathern hands, the one swinging swords, he uses the word 7 times. I want to tell you what truly is precious. Because you might have a bauble. You might have a Canardly. You might have a counterfeit. I'm here to tell you what truly is valuable and what truly should be esteemed. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is precious. The preciousness of Jesus, number one, is declared by God. The preciousness of Jesus is declared by God. Look at verse number 4. To him coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and what? Precious. Who's declaring that he's precious? The Lord is. God the Father is. Look at verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Next word. Precious. God the Father declares that Jesus is precious. That is, he is of great value. He is highly esteemed. He is of great worth. The Son, God the Son, is of great worth. Remember in Matthew chapter number 3 when Jesus is being baptized? And he goes down to the water, he comes up out of the water, and there's a voice from heaven. Do you remember that voice? The voice in heaven, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 says this, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my what? My what? Beloved Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Beloved? What does the word beloved mean? It means loved, greatly loved, dear to the heart. Dare I say, when God the Father looked down to the Son, being obedient, becoming a man, living a sinless life, being obedient to the letter of the law, being baptized, that God the Father said of his Son, you are precious, you are beloved, I am well pleased with you. And then again on the Mount of Transfiguration, in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God the Father says, He is my beloved Son. He says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, He is precious. He is highly valued. And yet God took His highly valued Son. God took His precious Son. God the Father allowed His beloved Son to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. It delights my heart. It thrills my heart. Here are young people, little kids that can't read yet, singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And the only thing that blesses my heart, greater than a kid that can't read, singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," is to hear them quote verses. They can't read, and to hear them quote John 3:16. And from the outside, from the outset, from the time they're little, to understand, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." See, God says, "This is precious to me. And I'm not giving you religion. I'm not giving you some material things. I'm giving and delivering to you my only begotten Son. I declare to you He's precious, and I'm willing to allow Him to die for your sins." That is an unbelievable statement. That is an unreal gesture. And when Peter points to Jesus being precious, look at this, 1 Peter 1, verse number 18. 1 Peter 1:18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers," verse 19, "but with the" what kind of blood? "Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." God gave His Son to shed His precious blood. God says, "My Son is precious. His blood is precious." Now, please don't miss this. How many of you have ever gone to the store and bought something? Would you raise your hand? Gone to the store and bought something. Okay. Well, some of you ladies need to raise both hands. All right. Have you ever got to the store and you go to buy something and you say, "You know, I don't have my wallet." Has it ever happened to you? I'm behind that guy every time I get in line. They bring everything up. I forgot it. No, you've seen that situation. What if the guy said, "Hey, you know what, I got some business cards I'll give you. Oh, hey, I got this watch. I'll give you this watch for what?" Is that transaction going to happen? It's not going to happen unless one thing happens. Two things happen. One, the buyer has to view that item as being valuable enough to purchase what he wants. Number two, and most importantly, the person selling that item has to agree to the value of that item to give that person what he wants. Did you catch that? So in order for the transaction to happen, both of us have to view the items being exchanged at the same value. Is this too deep? This is not deep at all. So this person says, I value this and this. And in order to make that transaction, the other side has to say, "I agree with that value. I agree with that statement. Now we can make this transaction." Listen to me very carefully. God the Father said this: "You can only be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only payment. That is the only value. In order to be saved and have that interaction or have that transaction with a holy God, you have to look at the precious blood of Jesus and say, I will use the blood of Jesus. I value the blood of Jesus as much as God values the blood of Jesus." Somebody says, "Well, not the blood, but I'll give you a baptism." No. "I'll give you a baptism, two confirmations. Lord's table. Not eating meat on Friday. I'll give you this." No. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He said, "I gave my precious Son, and I will accept no other payment." There's nothing of higher value. There's nothing that's going to wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God declares that Jesus is precious. The preciousness of Jesus is declared by God. Number two, the preciousness of Jesus is not only declared by God, the preciousness of Jesus is disallowed by men. It is disallowed by men. Look at verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "To whom coming, as unto a lively stone," what's the next word? Disallowed. "Indeed of men." See, most men don't see the preciousness of Jesus. They don't see the value of Jesus. As a matter of fact, we remember when the Lord says that those of us that are saved, to those that are lost, the preaching of Christ is foolishness. But to those of us that believe is the power of God unto salvation. So the world looks at Jesus' death as, well, that's just another man that died, and that's just a cult following, and has nothing to do with me. So they are disallowing the presence of Jesus. They don't hold him to a high value. Matter of fact, the word disallow means not to approve, not to receive, to reject. To reject. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says this, 2 Peter 3, 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. I believe there's two reasons why most people reject or disallow the preciousness of Jesus. They reject the fact that he is highly esteemed. They reject the fact that he is highly valued. Number one, I believe they reject him because they love their sin. They love their sin. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Listen, on this Jesus thing, this holy thing, this Bible thing. I don't accept that. I want to be able to commit fornication and not be told it's wrong. I want to be drunk. I want to be a liar. I want to be a gossip. I want to be greedy. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want this Jesus and his religion or the Bible to try to tell me how to live. So I reject your Jesus. Now, I've talked to certain people that have said that line, and most people don't say it, but a lot of people feel it. They want their sin more than they want a Savior. There are some people that disallow the preciousness of Jesus because they love their sin and they want their sin. There's other people that disallow Jesus because they want their religion. I know he died, but I have my... Wait. Then you don't agree with the value that God agrees with. I value my... I talked to a priest not that long ago, and he told me that, you know, well, our church is pretty much like your church, and we believe the Bible. I said, you do? Yeah, that's one of our authorities. One of our authorities. I said, one. I said, that's amazing, because I have one, and it's the Bible. What other authorities do you have? Well, we have the traditions of the church. Well, what do you do when your teachings of the church and the traditions of the church disagree with the other authority? You know which one wins, right? It's not the Bible that wins. It's the words of men. It's the traditions of men that win. And so they're trusting in their religion. I'm trusting in the things that I do to get me to heaven. So I disallow Christ. I reject Christ. I neglect that gospel. And somehow I'm going to work my way. Wait a minute. Don't you think that's holy? That a holy God is offended by that? The God that gave his son to die for you, and you go, nope, I don't need that. I'm going to work my own way. Really? Jesus died for you, given by God the Father, and we're going to find some other way? The God that was willing to pour his wrath upon his own son? And you're going to find some other way? I'm going to disallow Christ. It's not that important. What Christ did, who he is not that important. I have my religion. So lastly, I want you to see this. The preciousness of Jesus is declared by God. It is disallowed, rejected by men, but it should be displayed by saints. The preciousness of Jesus should be displayed by saints. Look at verse number 7, because it's important. Unto you, therefore. So God sees that Jesus is precious. Man disallows and rejects the fact that Jesus is precious. But verse number 7, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. Now do not miss this. One of, and I'm going to make this bold statement, the major, dominant way to show if someone is a true believer is in how they value Jesus Christ. And I'm not just saying, oh, I highly value him, because Because let's be honest, we're not fooling an all-knowing God with our lip service. How we truly value Him with our time, with our money, with our motives, with our thoughts, the raising of our children, the keeping of our home, the institute of our marriage, and how we vote and how we carry ourselves as citizens, how we attend the house of the Lord, how we read the Word of God, how much time we spend in prayer. Because we do what we believe is precious. Peter keeps throwing this word around. Where did he get this from? Let me show you where I believe he got it from. Keep your finger there in 1 Peter. Go back to John 21 if you would. Such a familiar story, but I want to look at it. John chapter number 21, keep your finger in 1 Peter. Jesus dies, he rises again. When he shows himself to his disciples in the upper room, he says this, "So send out you. I forgive you for denying me. I still have a job for you to do. I'm not done with you yet." And by the way, I am so thankful that even when we do mess up, that we have a good God who's a forgiving God. Guys, I know you failed me. I know you did. But I'm not done with you yet. I personally praise the Lord for that. So, chapter number 21, verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples on the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. Do you remember verse number 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I go a-fishing." They said to him, "We also go with thee." And they're out fishing. And my opinion is, they weren't supposed to be fishing. Fishing is what they did when he found them. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." When he showed them up in the upper room, he said, "Guys, the plan is still the same." But Peter says, "You know what? I go a-fishing." And he picks up the nets again, gets the oars again, sets the sails again, gets the boat again, lifts the anchor again, and he's out fishing. And you know he doesn't catch anything. He's out fishing all night long. Jesus provides 153 fish for him on the other side of the boat. And then he has a conversation with Peter. In John chapter 21, verse number 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now we know how many times he asked Peter this question, right? Three times. But what I want you to notice is, he says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And the great theological debate is, what's Jesus referring to? Now remember I told you the word preciousness is a comparison. It's a value. It's, do I esteem this or do I esteem this? Do I honor this or do I honor this? Do I love this or do I love this? So Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yeah, I love you." "Do you love me more than these? Am I more precious to you than these things?" And the theological debate is, what is Jesus pointing to? Is he pointing to the other disciples? "Peter, do you love me more than John? Do you love me more than Philip? Do you love me more than Matthew? Do you love me more than James? Do you love me more than..." I don't think so. I think he's pointing at the boat. "You love me more than that boat? You love me more than those nets? You love me more than those fish? Do you value me more than these things?" If we could put it in our contemporary speech today, do we love him more than our job? Is he more precious to us than our hobbies? Do we love him more than money? Is he more precious to us than even our family? How do we esteem him? And so Peter, he's like, "Lord, you know I love you." It's a comparative term. And the way that Peter brings it about in 1 Peter chapter 2 is this. He says, those that believe, to them he is precious. So we are believers. Once we get off our knees, after we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the name, the glory, and the love and the praise of Jesus Christ rises to the top of our value system. And if it's no longer at the top of our value system, if it is not the motive of doing what we're doing, then we have to step back and say, wait a minute, what's wrong? Why do I esteem this more than my Lord? Why does this have more of my love than my Lord? And all of us, like Peter, are susceptible to loving the boat, loving the job, loving the hobbies, loving the entertainment, loving the time, loving the promotion, loving the vacation, loving the family. And so no longer is Jesus at the top. Now Jesus is kind of pushed over to the side. And he no longer has preeminence because he's no longer precious or highly valued in our life. Are we getting this? Are we all right? So, I remember that one time I told you that I bought a stock. Never bought stocks or bonds. I was preaching in the church several years ago, and a guy says, "Hey, Brother Sparks, I got a tip on a stock." And he's whispering, so it must be a good tip. Because, boy, this is going to trouble, double, quadruple. So I went to my wife. I said, "Honey, got this investment." If there's somebody in our trailer listening, right? "Got this investment. It's going to double, triple. It's going to. So we had... We took $1,000, which we did not. I don't even know where we got that from. We scraped it together, and we invested in that stock. And never in my life did I ever. Listen, you're watching the news or something. They got that ticker tape going on the bottom. I never cared about that. That's annoying. Until. So now I'm watching this whole thing for 15 minutes, waiting for my little symbol of the $1,000 I invested. And I'm waiting for this ticker. And I'm looking for a red arrow that's pointing up. And I see the red arrow pointing down. Week after week, month after month, bought it for, I don't know, $1 a share. It plummeted to like 12 cents a share. And then I couldn't even look anymore. I wanted the value to go up, and the value went down. Now, how do I know it went down? Well, I watched the ticker tape, and I realized it's not going up, it's going down. How do we know if the value of Jesus in our life is going up? Or if it's going down, then we daily look at this ticker tape. And I mean it by any disrespect, but we daily look at the ticker tape to see if we value him like we should. I want to close with this. It's kind of a silly illustration. As many of you know, for some reason, a peacock ended up on our property. How it got there, I don't know. I've tried to get rid of it. I went to all the... my country neighbors, "Hey, do you have a peacock? Are you missing one? Do you want one?" Well, for some reason, that peacock, and it's a hen, endeared herself to me. I like the peacock. Now, I'm not coming to church with it on my shoulder, like, you know, but I just like it. As a matter of fact, when I whistle, she comes running. She comes running. Better than my kids. She says, "Hey, there we go." It's amazing. And she roosts up on either the corner of the barn or the corner of the house. She roosts up there. And at night when it's dusk, it looks like I have a peacock or a weather vane. I mean, it looks really cool. I'm like, "All right." And I said, my wife said, "You like that peacock?" I said, I kind of do. I kind of like that peacock. So I'm no longer looking for where it belongs. So it's got a home. But I'm feeding it, and it chases cats away. I really like this peacock. Good peacock. I'm thinking about getting a dozen of them, right? That I need at least that many. So I like it. I went from, to, yeah, I really like that. And here it comes. I just like it. So I like it until I saw it on my truck. Doing bad things to it. So the first time I'm walking to my house and I walk past the window and I say, "Oh, there's the peacock," and we call it Shirley. I go, "Oh, there's Shirley," on my truck. I go into my stocking feet, like, "Get down, truck, get down!" And every time I turn around, there's Shirley on my truck. I'm throwing rocks at her. "Get on my truck." And so my wife laughs at me because she'll hear me. I'll be studying. I'll just glance out the window. She's on the truck. And I'll jump up off my desk. "Get off my truck!" And I'm shooting off. Look like a madman. And what I found is this, is that although I value Shirley, or I like Shirley, I call her a precious peacock, whatever you want to call it, I realized that I valued my truck more than that dumb bird. And as a matter of fact, if it keeps it up, we're going to see what it tastes like on Thanksgiving. And I'm not going to tell my family what it is. This is an odd-shaped turkey. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Watch. So because I value my truck more than I value that bird, I find myself constantly having to shoo it away. Not that I don't like it, not that it's even a bad thing, but I find myself constantly having to shooing it away to protect the thing that I believe is more precious than that bird. Do you understand? Jesus Christ should be precious to us, but there are always things flocking. There's always things gathering together. There's always things trying to go on top of what Jesus is to us. And what I'm saying is, on a daily basis, we gotta shoo those things away. We gotta say, no, you don't understand. I don't mind you, and I'm not saying that you're bad. I'm not saying that you have to leave. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, I value Jesus more. I'm not saying it's bad to have a job, but I value Jesus more. I'm not saying it's bad to have that hobby, but I'm shooing you away because I value Jesus more. And this morning, to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, are there not some things in your life that kind of, you don't know where they got there, you don't know how they showed up, you don't mind them, they're not bad things, but all of a sudden they begin to infringe upon Jesus' control over your life, infringe upon your love for Him? If you can't see it, if you can't see things that threaten your love for Jesus, and there's something greater that's wrong. To those of us that believe He is precious, and there's some things in our lives I believe that we need to shoo away so that He can remain precious to us. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank You for this letter from Peter. Thank You for this reminder to us. Lord God, I know that You sent Your Son to die for us, and He's precious in Your sight. I know that the world rejects and disallows, disapproves of Jesus. But Lord, for us that are saints, those of us that have tasted Your graciousness, for those of us that have been born again, He should be the most precious thing in our lives by a long shot. And yet, Lord, we have other things that are trying to get in, that are trying to get preeminence, that are trying to, Lord, to be more precious in our lives and our hearts than You are. And I pray, Lord, that we'd clearly see that this morning. I pray, Lord, even this morning at this altar, that we could shoo some things away that might not necessarily be bad, it might not be sinful, but they are beginning to take priority over You and Your Word and Your church and our love for You. And Lord, I pray that we could shoo them away today. Lord, I pray if someone here today does not know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation, that today they'd be born again. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you this. No one looking around. Is there one or two of you that would say this morning, you know what, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. If you're not sure, would you let me pray for you? If you're not sure of your salvation, would you just slip up your hand right now? In the quietness of this moment, thank you for your honesty. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your honesty. It's 4 or 5. Thank you. Put your hands down. I'll pray for you in a moment. Anybody else? I'm not sure. All right, listen to me very carefully. The Bible says all of us are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. We cannot go to heaven because we are sinners. God's a holy God. The good news is God's a loving God and sent Jesus Christ to die for you and your sins. He rose again the third day. And if you would put your faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary, if you would ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior at this moment, He would save you. If you're not sure what to do, if you're not sure what the Bible says, it would be my honor and privilege to open up the Bible and show you. Please let us show you after the service.